For more audios, go to www.wordchurch.biz. That's B-I-Z.
Scott, I can just share something really quick.
Yes, please. Yeah.
So while we were worshiping, I don't know if it's going to minister to anybody or not, but the Lord showed me a... like a plant that was thriving in a dry, very dry land, a very dry ground. Like it was early in the spring, the rains had not come, but there was a plant thriving, green and lush, and it had survived a very dry winter and a very difficult season. And I think the Lord is saying that it is good that you have thrived through the dry and difficult times. Because my rains are coming. And when my rains come, all things will grow, but the blessing and the growth that comes from those that have dug down roots deep into my soil will bear much fruit and will be a blessing to many. So,
amen.
I hope that ministers to somebody.
Yes, as a matter of fact, the things you say is what I feel the Lord wanted me to share. And you know, I mean, everybody who are praying, who are interceding for other people, you can sense a season of change and a time of testing. You know, it's like the Lord wants us to see in this time of season, do you willing to be strong in the Lord and walk through the trial? Okay, let's turn to James. Let's start in first chapter, start in verse 2. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you, but ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. And you know, as I said, if everything going all right and everybody say, oh, I have faith in God, I have faith in God, there is the things to be, can be learned from your difficulty. And discipline is important, because our flesh sometimes, we go with our emotion, you know. When you're happy, it's like, oh, everything's good. And when it's a little bit of hard time come, then your flesh make you feel, oh, you know, why me, why me, why me? And the maturity is to show how you handle the difficulty. Because good time, everybody can say, I have faith. And even the heathen, when they have good time, they are happy, you know. But how, when time, when testing come, when trial come, how you face it? Do you run away from difficulty, or do you have it, pass on it? And you know, a lot of time we think something. Oh, we complain. Oh God, why me? And we think we cannot go through it. But the scripture says very clearly, God will never let you to do the things you cannot handle. And God sent people there to help you. These days, I pray a lot because in my family, things is changing. And, you know, next month, we will graduate from high school. And so I told him, I will attend as much as I can for your baseball game. I want to be there to see you. And, you know, sometimes we go think day in, day out, we don't think about it. And you know, God uses a lot of things to remind us to set priority right, to set priority right. Sometimes the business carries us every way, and then we lost our sight. We are not keep focused. And Lord will use daily life, and even use your kids to know how important to reflect and how to check in with the Lord, what the Lord asks you to do now. You know, I'm so happy my mother-in-law come. I mean, these several Saturday nights, she's always here, you know, because I really enjoy, nobody live forever. We need to treasure what we have now. This afternoon, we talk about my father-in-law and the things we used to do. And, you know, he is be with the Lord for over 5 years now. Wow. Yes, we miss him, but we also know he wants us to be happy. He wants us to live a full life. And this afternoon, we'll talk about how my father-in-law help others. You know, a lot of people borrow money from him, and some of them, he knows they have no ability to return, but he will borrow them, he will loan to them anyway, especially the widows or the single mother, you know. And I said, yeah, I said, because he is a giver, and he helped the people who are in needy. That's why Lord blessed them a lot, you know. And God want to use us as an example of the goodness of God, and also the good, and also the example of how we take care of each other, pray for one another. And you know, the other day, somebody talked to me about things happening in their life, and you know, yes, something didn't go well, very good, but also, it's like both of, during the talking, we see so clearly. It's like, you know, you can say anything you want, but your actions speak louder. If you don't take care of your own family, how can I trust you? You say you love me, you will be there for me. You cannot take care of your own flesh and blood. It's like, wow. We look at each other, it's like, wow. Praise God, we had the talk. You know, I was I bring the material, study Bible, trying to, you know, be ready. If today weather's good, I will be the one who shared the message. And this is what Don did. He always prepared several messages, and then he see what the Lord leads him, which way to go. You know, so. I prepared several messages, and then when this lady come talk to me, you know, I put my things down. I look at her eyes. We look at eyes, and we talk. It helped me to check on my action. Check on my action. Do my action show the love of God? I hope through me, people can see the goodness of God. People can see the patience, because a lot of time I don't have patience, and I ask the Lord to give me patience. And I have a lot of things I don't have the gifts. I and my friend we talk about the decoration, talk about the color, whatever, and I said, you know. I'm very blessed. Every time when I move, Dad said, call Dana! And I called Dana. Dana won't be there, you know? I mean, I live in China. I mean, my apartment is for newlywed. And so it's like kitchen. This is the sink. This is the stove. You don't need to work. You just turn around. Sink, stove, sink. And next to the kitchen is the bathroom. And no door. I use the curtain because you want space. The bathroom only have one toilet. No sink. That's small. Everything is folding. Folding chair, folding table. Okay? And a wing, a king size bed. And one desk. Because Jesse's father study a lot. And we have a map on the wall. That's it. That's all we have. So, I mean, I don't do decoration, you know. Dan will put some picture on the wall, whatever, and I don't care. God wants us to pray for one another, care each other, lay hands on the sick, and pray for people. And Wednesdays, I also, you know, I brought some newspaper and magazine. If I see something caught my eyes, I will save it. When I have time, I will read it. And I tear down just a little piece of paper, because when I read that, my heart feel hurt. I felt the Lord hurts. The Lord hurts. I want to read this. By age 23, 49% of black men in the U.S. have been arrested, which can hurt their ability to find work, go to school, and participate fully in their communities. A new study in the journal Crime and Delinquency Fund. By age 23, 44% of Hispanic males and 38% of white males has been arrested. When I read this, I just felt I tear this out of the magazine, put it with my wallet. So every time I see it, I will pray over for our youth. They are our next generation. As I said, the circle of life, nobody live forever. These kids, someday they will take our place. You know, I'm very happy for the kids come here, play basketball, and the other day they used the a big styrofoam, make the wall run over, and they just screaming, so happy. I'm so happy, you know, I didn't mind to clean up. I mean, I didn't mind. And we will sing some clean up, everybody do your share, and have a safe place for kids to play, for kids to have some fun, have some good time. And, you know, once in a while I said, kids, drink some water, you know? And they are our next generation. I do pray for more adults willing to be a mentor. As I say this over and over, I'm so blessed, you know, every time, no matter where my kids are, have somebody there care for them. You know, every time Coach Kelty see Don, he will talk to Coach Kelty about winning. You know, every time Jess stop by here, Adam will try to drink a coffee or eat lunch together. You know, that's really blessed my heart, blessed my family, you know, because they know God sent somebody there care for them. If we willing to spend more time for these youth and help them to walk with the Lord, then they will have good future. You know, I have three kids. I want every one of them all to be success, have good education, have good job, make good money, have a happy family. Be happy. That's the desire of my heart. So do you guys, you know? And be willing to walk out of your ordinary routine. Be willing to take down the things you are doing to spend some time with the kids and help them. Sometimes all they need is somebody there to listen to them and tell them, I love you, I care about you. You know, you don't just spend lost time or lost money, but you won't need let them know you care about them. I was so blessed several weeks ago, my mother-in-law rescued a squirrel, and she bought the cage, the special food, and down called the OSU Animal Hospital, and you know, do all this kind of stuff. I mean, she's busy because you feed the baby squirrel every 4 hours, once in 4 hours. And she used a heating pad and special cups, special food, and you know, keep her busy. It's like, wow, Lord care about even the little squirrel. How much God care about us, because we're children of God. You know, when our kids are born, they was baptized fast, early. You know, we require them to read the Bible every day. The first thing in the morning, read the Bible, then you do homework. Is that they do it every day? No, I know they don't. But they do most of days, and sometimes we need to check on them. Are you doing what I say? Read the Bible first. And also, before you study, say a 10-second prayer. Lord, help me to understand things I study. And help me do homework fast and correct in Jesus' name. 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Literally only take you 10 seconds. But you will have different result. God care about you in every way. The Lord said, I will lead you, guard you, and protect you. Lead you step by step. Ask the Lord for the wisdom. He will give to all generously. Amen. This is what I just read. And you know, I would say, read the Bible by yourself. Before read a prayer, Lord, help me to understand the things I'm reading. And you know, after a while, it just automatically, before, when you took the Bible, Lord, help me understand things I'm reading. And guess what? God is faithful. God will show you. And once in a while, you just, Lord, just open your eyes. Wow, I read just the same scripture yesterday. But today I got more out of it. Wow! Let's turn to Psalm 26. Psalm 26,1 and 2. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord. Without wavering, prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to you. Once a while, we need to say this prayer, because searching you as King David said, search my heart, O Lord. I am so blessed by Lord because I have friends when I need help, I call them. And you know what? Every time when I need help, somebody is there for me. And the Lord said, you receive freely and give out freely. The Lord wants you to know He cares about us. Yeah, this time of season of changing, God is never changed. His love endures forever. Peace be with you. Scott? Amen.
I want to look at a few prophetic scriptures concerning the message that Adam gave and Julie read, where she read James chapter 1. Adam saw a vision and shared it with us. Look at Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. I'm just going to read a few verses of scripture and let them speak to you. I don't know if I'll teach on them or what. But whatever you're going through as I read this, this chapter in Isaiah is a chapter about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of the Messiah. So let's read a few verses. Verse 1, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Yes. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. So let's stop there for a moment and think about what we have read. I'm reading a scripture about your prophecy, so it's Isaiah 35. I'm going to talk just a little bit about it. Verse 35, or verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Why? Because God is involved. God is here. God's doing something. In Isaiah 35, he's predicting the time when the Messiah will come, and he will do all the signs and the wonders and the works of miracles while he is here. And those who are living in wilderness situations and those who are in the wastelands, this is what Julie's talking about. When you, when the young men go to prison, they are put on a negative course. And it's very hard, and it's like a wasteland to them. It's like a wilderness to them. But it says here, the desert will blossom. The desert will rejoice. Why? Because God is sending His Messiah. And through Jesus Christ, there is hope. Through Him, there is strength and relief from the fear. So then down at verse 3, he says, now, listen, you guys, just strengthen your weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. So God is saying that we must say to the fearful, don't worry about it.
Yes.
Don't be afraid, because God is in control. God is working things out. He can do things that are, well, actually He loves doing miracle things, because that's His natural way of doing things. Miracles are part of God's natural way. His normal way is to do a miracle. If God does a work, it's a miracle. It is. If we could do it ourselves, we wouldn't need a miracle. But people who are in difficulties and severe trials and testings, he said, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various testings. Why? Because it will produce patience in you. It will produce maturity in you. So here, it's like crying to the desert. Come on and bear fruit. Come on and rejoice with joy and singing. Verse 2, even with joy and singing, the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. They shall see the glory of the Lord. That's why you can do these things. That's why he says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. And then let's look at verse 5. Why? Because God has sent his messenger. Jesus, the Messiah, the messenger, has come. And it says, then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Why? Because Jesus did miracles while he was here. The Bible says that the Son of God went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So here we see a forecast of something that was coming. And Isaiah wrote it down. Let's look at a couple more verses here. Verse 8, a highway shall be there. Verse 8, a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the others. Whoever walks the road shall not go astray. Then let's finish with verse 10. Verse 10 says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So we see here in this chapter of Isaiah that the ransomed, those who have been purchased from their sin, the Lord has ransomed them and purchased them and brought them out of their darkness. They will come to Zion with singing, and they will have everlasting joy on their heads. Everlasting joy on their heads. You ever see someone who's really been delivered out of despair? I mean, when they finally found the Lord, and it's like this whole weight of bondage that's been on their life for a long, long time, all of a sudden it just seemed like it's coming off. It's being removed. Because joy is bursting through that. Joy comes out through that. And those things that were holding him back are beginning to fall off. Look at Jeremiah now. Prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17. Verse 7. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Wow, that is important. That is important. That's the Christian life. That is the Christian life that you and I can have and can live. What is it? It's to be bearing fruit, not ceasing from yielding fruit, and not to be anxious in the year of drought. You know, we just went through 2 years of quite serious drought. Some of the fields were starting to not bear fruit. But here it says, the one who trusts in the Lord is the one who will not fear when the heat comes. When the heat comes and there's no water. But its leaf will be green. Why? Because the plant is planted by the river of water. God is the river. Jesus said, if any man believes in me, out of him shall flow rivers of living water, because the river comes from God himself. When Jesus was, he is a river of life. And those who are connected to him then will not fear in the midst of heat and not be anxious in the year of drought and will not cease from yielding fruit. So let's just move on over now to the New Testament and look at Mark, Gospel of Mark chapter 4 and verse 20. Mark chapter 4 verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100 times. Let's read that again. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Which one are those? The ones who sow their seed. Their faith is in God's word. And they accept it, and they bear fruit. And then John chapter 15. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So here he's referring to the fact that Jesus is the word, and he has given his word to his disciples, and by that they were sanctified and made clean. Then verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So here it is. Here is the substance. John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me, Jesus says. Abide, that means to live in, to dwell in, to stay in, to be in Christ, to know him. It's to abide in him and let him abide in us, or to live in us. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. In other words, your life cannot bear fruit by itself. Before you met Christ, you tried it. You tried to live the life yourself. It didn't work, did it? It didn't work. If we could have done it, we would not have needed a Savior, but we could not be completely free from God. We had to be joined together with him again. See, sin is a separator. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and they were immediately separated from God. God put them out of the garden, and there was no longer this close encounter, this closeness of relationship, but it was divided. They were cut off. So here is an example of that. It's what he says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. He cuts off. So you must abide in me. That's where the joy comes in the middle of the desert. When you're in a desert situation in the wasteland, joy can come. I'll tell you an experience I had when I was probably, quite a few years ago, maybe 30 to 40 years ago, I got an opportunity to go to the state prison in McAllister. We went with the Full Gospel businessmen, and they went into the prison, the state penitentiary, and went to their worship services and led some of the worship service. And so I went in there, and we walked together in the courtyard to the chapel. So they let you in, and they close the door behind you, and you're walking in this courtyard. You're inside. And all the people, all the men who are going to the worship service are walking in the courtyard with you. They're all walking together. I want to tell you something. Those men had the Holy Spirit. They really did. When they sang the song, Old Rugged Cross, or some other song, it was like rivers of water washing you, washing, cleaning you. It was a great experience. But they did not look like they were in prison. They did not look like they were bound up. They did not look like they were in chains. They did not look like that they were in trouble. They didn't look like they were in trouble. You know, some people on the inside of a jail are more free than those who live out here in the world, because they don't know what freedom is, or you don't know what it is to lose it. When Jesus comes into a life, he can cause joy to burst out from it, and the life looks like a total waste. A total waste. But God can bring something when they get joined together with him. He can bring something that begins to look like life and bearing some fruit. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Jesus Christ. You cannot. You cannot bear the fruit. Who is it? The one who loves his word and sows seed, or faith seed, on good ground. And that good ground is Jesus Christ, who comes from the scriptures. He is the word of God. And so you abide in him. You live in him. And he in you. So what did he say in Revelation 3:20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and answers and opens the door, I will come in to him. So this is the beginning of the connection to abide in, to stay in, to let Jesus come into your heart, but you also go into him. Abide in me, he says, live in me. And then he says, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you go and bear much fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. So he is making it a way of the Christian life to bear much fruit. God ordained, Jesus ordained that you bear fruit. I mean, you're just like that wheat field out there that the man sowed the wheat in, but God gives it the increase. How do you think it bears fruit? It's God doing it. Mm-hmm. And so it is with our Christian life. Our life belongs to him, and you do not choose me, he said, but I chose you and appointed you that you go and bear much fruit. What did he do to his disciples? He prepared them, and he called them, and he chose them, and then he sent them out. That is the process. So for all of you here tonight, you have been chosen. And you're being trained to go out and bear much fruit, that your fruit should remain. Your fruit should not be destroyed in any way. It should remain. That's what the one who trusts in the Lord, his tree shall be like a tree planted by the river of water and will bring forth much fruit. If you look at Revelation then in chapter 21 and 22, it talks about the tree of life, or the tree that is up planted by the river. I think it's chapter 22. Yeah, 22. Revelation, last chapter of the Bible. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. But there, verse 3, but there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead. So here we see the final coming together in God's place to be with him forever. But here he's talking about a tree of life which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. This is where we get our fruitfulness from. Even before we go to heaven, we need to be fruitful on the earth.
Yeah.
That means, what is the fruit? It's the fruit of the Spirit. And Galatians 5:22 tells us what they are. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, what?
Faithfulness.
There's 9 fruits of the Spirit. 9 fruit of the Spirit. 9 fruits. That's hard to say. The fruit of the Spirit is singular, but the fruits, there are 9 of them. 9 different fruits. So these are the kinds of things that will come out of your life, your as you live. When you're connected to the river of life and you are bearing fruit, and Jesus said, I ordained you to bear fruit. It's not anything that you decided to do, actually. I am doing it. God's doing it. He's doing this work. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for doing a great work in us. Thank you for changing us into more of your image, the way that you think, the way that you live, and the way that you give us life. I pray, Lord, that you would move mightily in each one of us here and those who are listening on the internet. Father, that you would show all of us how to just be connected to God, be connected to Jesus' works, and to go and do likewise, to do the works of Jesus and to bear much fruit. Thank you, Lord, that you ordained us, that if we are connected to you and you're connected to us, or we are in you, then we can bear much fruit. And I pray, Lord, that you would help all of those who are fearful and those who feel like they are in a wasteland. I pray, Lord, that you would really set them free. Show them, Lord, that there's joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is their strength. So we bless you and thank you, Father, for setting the captives free and giving us new life and new hope and new joy. In Jesus' name, amen.